you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just never stopped moving. That's a steal to Drummond.
Andre Drummond knocked it free. And Torrey Craig!
Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. Oh, my. Shaq to the floor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That's a timeout. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Billy Donovan is furious right now.
Drummond
and Andre Drummond is hurt after all that.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
If that wasn't the most emblematic possession of the Bulls season, I don't know what is.
Wow, bro. Come on now.
Between a steal, a missed dunk with miscommunication, and then an injury, that was your Bulls season in one sequence.
Wow. You know, sometimes it's the Goodfellas treatments that you don't know are coming that hit you. Not the most, but it's like sudden death. It's that surprise. It's that shock factor. Like, Andre Drummond, is he Goodfellas treatment worthy? You know, when you have the best Shaq and a fool play of the whole year, you probably are.
You probably are.
Good choice by Tanny.
And here's what we now know, is that Andre Drummond, he's gone. There ain't nothing you could do about it.
That's right. Close enough.
I was really close.
You'll get it eventually.
Yeah. But seriously, though, I know we got bigger fish to fry.
He's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
Damn it, I was close. You're right. I know we have bigger fish to fry.
But it's a fish to fry.
But the Andre Drummond as a fish is one that we should fry. Because do they as an organization simply not value second-round draft picks? I mean, you and I know this very well, of course, from the Jordan Bell $3.5 million fiasco.
Yeah.
But like, instead of three second-round draft picks for a backup center, they decided to try and be competitive and then said backup center goes to the same team that was wanting to give you the 3 second round draft picks.
It's clearly, if you are to believe the reporting now, that ownership was mandating competitiveness. So they would have been happy to make that trade, but they were told, no, you have to try to get a home playoff series.
Okay.
And so, therefore, they needed Andre Drummond.
All right, so I should not be adding to the list of Arturis Karnishev's concerns that he doesn't think second-round picks are valuable, either for the player that you could get or as part of an asset portfolio that could get you something else down the road.
I think you just need to have it in your portfolio of anger, but not at the top, and then see what happens. It's like, We're going to work through a lot of the stories that are out there right now.
I got you.
There's a lot of puzzle pieces we have to put together.
I know, but let me just tell you that Portfolio of Anger stole the show when they opened for Spiritual Nutsack.
Oh, wow.
They really did.
That's true. I arrived late, so I didn't see them.
Oh,
I was just there for the headline.
You thought it was Camp, if memory serves, or the Lumineers.
Yeah, who could tell the difference?
But I don't know. Portfolio of Anger, really, really good.
This is not a portfolio of anger. This is a joyful morning show. Mully and Haw are live at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage Thursday, July 18th from 6 to 10 a.m. And you could be there, too, in their live studio audience. They're going to have special guests in attendance. And you have a shot to win a pair of tickets to that performance before the end of the show. All you have to do is wait for what you to hear.
Okay, we're not asphalting or cutting the lawn here.
When you do hear that, just call 312-540-0670 and you can go see Mully and Haw on July 18th.
Gives me an idea for that July 18th show. Bring in some asphalt and have them do some asphalting live there on the stage. Do we have enough room?
That'd be harder work than what we do around here. But, man, so the NBA free agency goes crazy, right? It's very rapid. They do it well as a league. There's a date and a time, and they can program shows and programming around it. and everyone can kind of pay attention to it. And then as soon as that date and time comes, a bunch of news happens. It's amazing. Baseball should really take note of what the NBA has been able to do with the transactional portion of its offseason.
I have nothing to say to that.
I get it.
No response.
Now, would it be more exciting?
Can't wait till next February when we're still waiting for 40% of the free agents to even consider talking to teams.
I believe they call it the lukewarm stove. I think it's a slow burn. I don't know what your sport calls it. But anyway, but if you're a team.
Only you. Find a way to crap all over
I'm
my
just
sport.
Letting you know.
Yeah.
If you're a team like the Knicks or the Thunder or the Sixers, this has been a very exciting 48 hours to you. You're a contender. You're on the come. You're building. You have aspirations. All those sort of things. If you're a team like the Bulls, I find these last 48 hours to be much more conflicting, personally.
See, we're in different spots.
We are in naturally different spots about this.
Yeah, we really are, because we talked about it in advance of the draft, and I remember I said something that this could be a monumental night, because I was thinking that maybe they could trade Zach, and they'll get whatever they draft, and it'll be clear what they're doing. And that wasn't, but like we seem to be in the midst of finally the pivot, dude. It's happening. They're going very, very young. They've admitted that this core doesn't work, and they're not going to sit around and wait for Lonzo Ball anymore. They're actually changing things up, and I expect DeMar to be gone. I hope that Zach will be gone. It's possible that Vooch will be gone, and I know it'll be a long, ugly road, but they're prioritizing 2025, which is a loaded draft, and hopefully they're going to be bad enough to keep their pick and not have it confer over to San Antonio, and I celebrate this. So to me, I do feel some excitement and some optimism at what they're doing.
And that is well stated. I admire your ability to get there so quickly. This is really bad in terms of the NBA. You don't have that many assets, and draft picks are not that valuable unless you've got a top pick that also, which is you get by luck because it's a lottery, and it has to be in a great year. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. So you've got to make sure that the things that you have that have value, you either win with them or you sell high on them in order to keep stockpiling your assets. Listen to some of the reports that have been out there about, we'll start with Chris Haynes, about what the levels that they have been going to in terms of creativity to try to get out of Zach LaVine's max contract.
I want to give some context, some background real quick on what happened with Chris Paul. You know, they wanted to see if they could, what Chris Paul would agree to push the guaranteed date back again to give them more time. Chris Paul and his camp, they were not amenable to that. I was told that the Chicago Bulls were trying to get something going with the Golden State Warriors, trying to get a Zach LaVine package together. What I was told, it could have been a Zach LaVine for a Chris Paul or Andrew Wiggins. The Warriors, from how it was explained to me, the Warriors, they didn't feel that was an adequate amount for a deal structure. So things didn't go as planned. So that fell through, which led to the Golden State Warriors choosing to release Chris Paul. And I was told it was Mike Dunleavy, the general manager, who called Chris Paul and gave him the news.
So instead of Zach LaVine, they chose to just release Chris Paul?
Instead of saying...
Is that what I'm hearing
instead,
right there?
Yes. Instead of saying, we will get out of Andrew Wiggins' bad contract, who is $26 million, then $28 million, then a player option for $30 million, in exchange for Zach LaVine's contract, which is $40 million, $43 million, $45 million, and a player option for $49
million. Oof!
Which is... So to be clear, Zach LaVine, worse contract than Andrew Wiggins. But also, to be clear, Zach LaVine, significantly better basketball player. Averages way more points per game. Been an all-star. Better offensive player when healthy. I mean, like these are both bad contracts. They are the same age, basically. Mm. That is bad. And so they're like, nah.
I would have been thrilled at that deal.
But if the Warriors like,
minus Zach, give me Wiggins, and then let Chris Paul walk. Absolutely. Let's go.
So the Warriors are like, no, we're good on Zach's contract. We'll just lose Chris Paul for nothing. Okay. All right, fine. How about what Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, is saying about what they're trying to do to get rid of Zach LaVine?
Chicago's been trying to move Zach LaVine forever. They can't find any takers just to get off his contract. I don't even think if they attached a first-round pick, teams would take him. So that impacts DeMar DeRozan, because you can't sign DeRozan and keep LaVine, and now you're going into the luxury tax here. So, yeah, the apron is we're going to do a case study 7 years from now on how the apron had dominated the summer of 2024.
Oh, great. Yeah, the apron is another wrinkle on the salary cap, and it's no fun. Trust me, folks, and it doesn't truly matter that much for a team that's not trying to win, like the Bulls right now.
Correct. That part of the equation is not worth getting into
right
now, but I don't think they could trade Zach LaVine if they attached a first-round pick to it.
Chicago's been trying to move Zach LaVine forever. They can't find any takers just to get off his contract. I don't even think if they attached a first-round pick, teams would take him.
I'm starting
Their first-round pick should be real valuable, boys and girls.
I'm starting to think that maybe they shouldn't have signed him to that max contract.
I know.
I'm starting to think that maybe that wasn't a great idea.
We don't have time travel. I supported it at the time. I didn't like losing assets for nothing. I didn't think he was going to get worse and get hurt.
I wanted to do a sign and trade desperately at the time. But
great, Max. Thanks for having me.
He wouldn't have agreed to it because it would have
it would have meant less.
Yeah, and the team that would have given he would have been going to would have been worse. So he was going to get a max deal. But
we're not here to talk about the past.
That's what I'm saying. So this situation. Because they were told by ownership, you got to be competitive. Instead of getting 3 second-round picks for Drummond, you just lose him for nothing. Because they didn't, they doubled down on this thing. You re-signed Vooch and you gave Zach a max. Now you can't get rid of Zach LaVine for another bad contract and a player that you would waive. This seems like we're not good. So. I understand celebrating the pivot, even if the pivot is too late. I do.
Celebrate it as best you can. They can make the lottery with Zach.
This is like the QB2 party of celebrations. Because what you're going to get for Zach LaVine, if you can't get Andrew Wiggins and a player to waive, what are you going to get for him?
I don't care what I get for Zach LaVine. I don't care. I don't want to give up a first-round pick to get him off the roster. I don't want to do that. But I genuinely don't care what I get back. As long as it doesn't hamstring me for years to come.
How will it not?
Well, because...
Trade him for something that doesn't give up a first-round pick or doesn't hamstring you for years to come. I'll wait.
If it's Wiggins or it's something like that where it doesn't have as long a time horizon, because it only has to match for what? It only has to match for the first year of the deal.
But my point is that
it's not out there.
My point is, if Golden State turned that deal down, who is saying, this contract is terrible, but it's an expiring deal. We'd love to have multiple time injured Zach LaVine.
Well, that's a different question. If there's no one out there willing to do it, then I'm not going to be able to trade that person. I'm not. But I sure as hell wish they could.
But I think they have to. Because you can't, if you bring him back and you try to rebuild value, who's he playing in front of? How is he rebuilding value? You're not playing him in front of Coby White. You're not playing him over Josh Giddey.
All right, so then we're back to trading him for I don't give a crap. I genuinely don't give a crap. I think all of their young players will be better served by not playing with Zach LaVine. They will be better by not being hamstrung to his particular brand of instinct-free, score-only basketball. They will be better off without him. Coby White has been better off without him. Patrick Williams will be better off without him. Io will be better off without him.
I know, but fine. But then the specifics of it, you are going to get back also things that are really bad and have no value.
If they have a shorter time horizon, I'm okay with that.
And if it has a similar time horizon? And
then I hope they don't make that deal.
Or they have to give a first-round pick to get out of it?
Look, I don't have the specifics of what it's going to be. I don't know. And they might just be screwed. And they're not going to just cut him and eat it like the Warriors did with CP3 because you've got multiple years and all of that. But they might be screwed because all these other teams have decided to go a different way. Detroit decided to go a different way. Detroit decided decided to try and, you know, why don't we just sign Tobias Harris rather than try and trade for a star in Zach LaVine? You know, it's like there's, I don't even know what fits are there left. So I realize that it's screaming into the void to say trade him for whatever the hell you can get. But I'm hoping they can still find a way. It's some, and I don't know that they can. I don't know that they can. Those clips that you played are freaking terrifying,
they're
man.
Real bad.
Yeah, it's real
bad. And so again, just to zoom out for a second, and then we can get into any of the specifics that you want. They are about to lose DeMar DeRozan for nothing, Andre Drummond for nothing, and Zach LaVine for... They will get back a contract as bad or worse, or attach a first-round pick or another asset to it to get something bad back for him. Like so the Zach LaVine trade, assuming it happens, because you can't take Kobe White and Josh Giddey minutes away from them for Zach at this point. I've been saying, like, you don't want to trade a guy for 25 cents on the dollar. We might be talking about, like, 5 cents
yeah,
on the
dollar. Yeah, we might be.
You know, like 10 cents on the dollar.
And what you don't want is to also have to include your checkbook along with that. Like, go ahead, take my checkbook and write yourself a check. Include a draft pick
And so where I then get to, and let's say, and let's be very generous and say that AK and Eversley deserve no blame, that this was all forced upon them by management.
That's too generous.
No, I know, but just for the hypothetical. But let's just. So why would we think that wouldn't happen again? That, okay, they're going to allow them to take a step back for this year, and then the 25 is a good draft, and then they'll build it back up, and then in a year or two, the exact same ownership mandate to
get decent.
To win 45 games, make it to a playoff series, and sell the building out every night, which it sells out anyway. Why would I not think that that type of short-term thinking is going to come back if it was here this past year for a team that we all knew was going to do nothing?
As long as the ownership remains, it probably will come back. But maybe the team building at that point will actually work out. That maybe one of the key cogs, like Lonzo Ball, doesn't get hurt and completely damage the overall vision.
Sure.
Maybe that draft pick that they get in 25 is something that enables them to put a lesser team with worse decisions around somebody that still end up with you very, very good because you got that pick. Maybe the luck of the team building actually works in your favor, whereas this time it did not. I know that's not super exciting, but that's sports with mediocre ownership. That's the way you have to hope for it to be better.
Okay. I'm just saying that is just the full context of this teardown and selling. It's like selling at the bottom of the housing market in a recession.
I know.
When you had just like paid for a huge remodel.
It's been so miserable. Why don't you want your boy and some of the listeners to be on the bright side one second?
I'm just saying, I don't look at this as some great day for the Bulls.
It's not a great day, but it's better than the days we've been having, man.
Okay.
It's better than the emptiness of heading nowhere, of the road to nowhere that we've been on. Look, don't just look to me for good vibes, babe. Dan Bernstein really likes this, you know?
No, I know.
He's in a place of where he's willing to see the possibility of where we're going.
Yeah, Mr. Vooch, he's a stud. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I can't.
We flip. Sometimes we flip. I mean, there's the thing. Speaking of Vooch being a stud, when I saw Jalen Smith as the acquisition today, the young center they got from Indiana.
Yeah.
I think he's 24. And looking at his numbers, looking at his style, you know what he's not? He's not a rim protector. He's a center, okay?
He shoots.
Yeah. He's a shooter. He's Vooch replacement. To me, this is like, go ahead and get your pennies on the dollar for Vooch, or attach Vooch to Zach if you can.
That's
can't imagine
not how it works. You can't just trade your two bad players
with two bad big money players. No, probably not.
That is not how it works.
But you could trade Vooch alone. Like if you can't trade Zach, then trade Vooch and give Jalen Smith those minutes and find another center who can be your possible rim protector or somebody else who can be known for defense. Because Jalen Smith, he's a 42% 3-point shooter last year on 2.4 attempts per game. This is a big who can shoot. So, and he's not great defensively. We already have one of those, theoretically, except for the can shoot part of late for Vooch. But you know what I mean? So I see that. I'm like, okay, Hey, guy's 24. I'd rather give him a shot to play and to grow as opposed to Vooch. And maybe if you can't move Zach, move Vooch.
I have no problem with Jalen Smith. I think it makes sense. Big guy who can shoot, who's young, give him more minutes. I agree with you. I like it. And I think that Giddey, it works.
I can go with you to negative town on all these guys.
It's not about the new guys to me, man. It's about selling low on the assets that you had when I was saying two trade deadlines ago, don't extend Vooch, tear this thing down. It's not going to work. The puzzle pieces don't fit together.
Yeah.
This is not Monday morning quarterbacking this. Like, we were doing shows together when I was like, you are on a build to nowhere, and this is nowhere. And when you wait too long in the NBA and you lose assets for nothing.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, they screwed the pooch. They waited way too long. They waited multiple deadlines. They waited multiple off seasons, without a doubt. But I'd be interested in what the listeners think in terms of, like,
We got some people chiming in.
Are you with Danny on the awfulness of the moment?
Like, is this a good moment? Because they are, I do think DeMar is gone, and I think Zach at some point will be gone somehow, and I think they're going to try to get bad. But I think people should prepare themselves for that Zach trade. What if you traded Io? Dude, teams are going to ask for Coby White to get out of Zach. Like, if
you're not going to give him that.
Okay, but I'm saying it's going to be, you want to keep your top 10 pick this year and get terrible? No, we want that.
We're not going to let you do that.
These are going to be tough conversations.
I want to go dancing with Coby White.
Yeah, I'd like to too.
Is this a good moment?
Is this a good moment?
I think it is.
Okay. It's a low bar for good. Better than it's been is not good.
Have you seen the local sports landscape?
Okay, better than it's been does not mean good. Better than it's been does not mean good. Shad's on the south side. He's on the score. What up, Shad?
Yo, what's up, fellas? Good to hear from you, man. My two favorite guys in the afternoon.
We're hearing from you, but go on.
Hey.
Thanks for coming, Shad.
Hey, look, my pleasure. I called a couple weeks back, and initially I was kind of setting myself up for this summer to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to give AK and Eversley an opportunity to kind of redo what they had an agenda for. Because, like, I liked what they initially had in terms of a scope of team building. The problem is that the injuries show that they don't have a pivot. You know, what they're doing now is what we've seen in the past as Bulls fans. You know, for me, Matas, how do you pronounce his last name? So that I don't want to come off, you know.
Matas Buzelis.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like Nocioni when you break down his profile. Now, I get that he has a high upside, but if you look at Giddey, reeks of Kirk Heinrich. We couldn't find a comparable for Coby White because the only thing that I can legitimately come up with was Ben Gordon. This looks like the baby Bulls. Jalen Smith, a stretch four. Like, I've seen this, man. I don't want to say that I'm happy because it's better than
And you're saying you liked that team.
What I'm saying is from a fan standpoint, it's something that I can actually watch. What we've been watching the last 2 years has not been basketball. Hasn't been basketball. Okay. I've had more fun in my bathroom when I had to take a bowel move. Okay? So my question is that if we want to really look at this as Bulls fans, do they have a real pivot, meaning that with the opportunity next year with a franchise player coming available, can they actually go against what this history of this organization has done, which is move before it's time to? Because they, even though you don't have a Zach LaVine piece that actually is worth anything, if you pair up some of those pieces, you can actually come out looking good on the other end, guys.
Shad is the best. While I disagreed with every single one of those player comparisons, deep to my core in terms of skill set and profile.
Kirk Heinrich is offended that you said that Giddey defends like him.
Right, exactly. Like, I just disagree with all of it. I adore Shad's passion, and what I really adore is this seems like something I could watch. I'm like, man, there we go. That bar, that low bar is just right there. There's a lot of different ways to call it, but it does seem like something you could watch. Hey, look at these kids. What are they doing?
All right. Well,
that's interesting.
Okay.
Lower.
Lower.
Yeah, that's where the bar is. Exactly. But that doesn't mean it's good. Like a new direction, a new direction that is better than it's been in a couple of years, probably. That's too many qualifiers for me to celebrate this moment.
And if I were the Bulls PR, I would take Shad's comparison of taking a dump to the last couple years of basketball. I would run with that and some sort of marketing thing. No longer will you feel like you're taking a dump.
Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on the score.
Houston Rockets lose forward Mario Elie for 2 months after he broke his wrist attempting a dump. A dunk.
We've had some odd comparisons on the show today.
That is amazing. That's one of the all-timers from the old archives. There's a reason Chris Tannehill is the GOAT. It's Mario Elie. It's a terrible way to get hurt.
It's not great. Yeah.
Frankly. What part of his body did he hurt? I forget.
Houston Rockets lose forward Mario Elie for 2 months after he broke his wrist attempting a dump.
I mean,
a dunk.
It's so. Is that a wiping accident? Is that what it's a wrist issue? You know, I don't. That's uncomfortable.
What's the guy's last name? Tanny and Soprano.
Mario Elie.
Gigi, who dies taking it on the Pichadul. It's a terrible way to go. He was the captain of Ralphie's crew, and it just became too much stress for him to bear. It's not good. So that's all right. So
didn't Elvis die on the toilet too? Do I have that right?
I think so.
So. Peter Hansen nodding.
He's from Elvis's generation. 20-year-old, confidently.
Was that the courtesy nod?
Don't undermine Peter. He was just talking to me about Dr. Strangelove during the break.
Okay. Oh,
he's
really?
Like, yeah. Oh, he's an him. Old soul a little
like
bit
it.
Here.
So I go way back.
Yeah. Are you sure about the Elvis and the toilet thing? Do you know that?
100% confident.
Wow. That's what I like. Even if you're not. Don't give us 96% confident. That has Shep 0% COVID concern traits in you. And he had a long storied career here.
I'm Googling famous people who died on the toilet. Yes, Elvis Presley. Catherine the Great had a stroke on the toilet. Oh, Lenny Bruce. That's too bad.
Oh, that's the one that's too bad?
Yeah. I feel worse about Lenny Bruce than
Catherine the Good.
Yeah, and Elvis.
And Elvis. Frankly. Okay.
Elvis Costello, maybe I'd be interested, but he's alive.
Yes.
Don't go to the toilet, Elvis Costello. Don't do it.
Is he?
Elvis Costello?
Peter.
Yeah, are you trying to kill off Elvis Costello? How dare you? No, he's doing just fine.
Are you saying this because Tributosaurus hasn't become him yet?
Oh, no, we have.
Oh, okay.
And I'd love to do Elvis Costello again. That's
incredible. Yeah, only 69 years young.
Incredible catalog
nice.
Of music. Brilliant songwriter.
Okay.
And I hope he doesn't go to the toilet anytime soon. He's destined.
I hope he goes on a regular schedule. And then it's easy for him.
That's a very kind wish.
That's my wish.
That's not shared enough as a salutation. Hey, good to see you. You know what? I hope you.
I hope you're regular. God bless you. I hope you're regular.
I wish you regularity.
I wish you regularity.
That's absolutely true. That's a beautiful, beautiful wish.
Yeah.
The band Dawes has a song I really love called All Your
Favorite
Dawes.
Oh, Dawes.
Dawes.
Sorry.
Song I really love called All Your Favorite Bands. And the wish is, may all your favorite bands stay together. Which is a lovely, kind wish.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
That is really nice.
So, but I'll put that up. I'll put yours up there. I hope you're regular.
It's a super old person thing to say, but it works.
How you doing? Oh, I wish you regular.
I wish you regular.
Have a good day.
Now, this is going to be, as your rational thought provider, this is going to hit you as very irrational.
Okay.
Are you ready for this thought that
I'm
today?
I'm ready.
This puts more pressure on Caleb Williams.
Oh, God.
Dude.
It really does.
Dude, the Bulls.
The whole town.
The Bulls are apparently, they're not going to call it a tank, but they are taking an intentional step backwards and losing assets for nothing or pennies on the dollar. And they're going to try to sell us to that as progress because they've chosen a direction. Some people will be more excited about that than others. Obviously, we have no real power. The Cubs are hurtling towards selling. We'll get into some detail at 5 o'clock on what that may or may not actually look like. But clearly, this is a very disappointing, underwhelming Cubs experience. White Sox, historically bad. And the Blackhawks have made some exciting moves and had the pick. And I've been informed from the kind folks over at Circa that their Stanley Cup odds have improved because of all these moves to 225-1, down from 325-1. So it's still a ways away from the Blackhawks to being competitive. Whoo, boy, does this town need a 4-0 September out of Caleb.
I agree with that. Needs that. And August is going to be welcomed. August football is going to be welcomed like maybe never before. Certainly, it's going to be welcomed more than any year since the year after Double Doink, when everybody was hopeful that the next level was about to be ascended to. So, no, I agree that there is all
But in
of
a
that,
weird way, this Bulls thing, like, honestly, man, we need a good team in this town.
Well, but here's
we really
here's
need
the thing.
A good team.
This is why I say good moment as opposed to bad moment, what we're watching here. Because I personally am much more inclined to want to watch a young team led by Coby White to see if Patrick Williams is going to get a little better, see if there's any meat on the Josh Giddey bone, to see if it's something we really want to extend and stick around with, to see what the local kid Matas Buzelis has, you know, in his game. I am much more inclined right now to tell you I'm interested in the first month of Bulls basketball than if I were going to watch the retread bunch give it another shot to try and get into the first round of the playoffs. I am much more inclined to pay attention to this, even if it gets worse from here on out.
I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. But there's going to then be, we're going to have to recalibrate again on putting up numbers on a bad team in an NBA regular season when you haven't been paid. And I know Patrick Williams just got paid and all that, but like that can lead to a lot of bad analysis.
I understand, but at least in terms of Coby, and I think it'll, you know, I'm hoping it ends up, this is Coby White's team. And we're watching that for a while and we're seeing Coby take to it. I think we've seen Coby in some big moments against Cleveland, in Cleveland, right? We've seen Coby enough against a decent team here or there to know that progress that we see from him is going to be something that we can believe in. In terms of being a superstar, no, not necessarily. But in terms of progress, hell yeah. We know Io can compete at a very high level. So, you know, there are certain folks we're going to believe in. And then the others we're going to see. Yeah, Josh Giddey might be a guy who's decent on a bad team. And as soon as a team gets good, like it did in Oklahoma City, they want to get rid of Josh Giddey. You know, he might be that guy.
Yeah, he might be. And I don't think that I don't think he is. I think that Josh Giddey has a lot of skills and some upside and all of that. It's just it's hard for me to embrace that, man, because Coby White is an exciting piece, but it'd be a lot, and I know this is a bad point, but like it'd be a lot easier to embrace a bad team when you have Wembanyama. Or if you have the number one pick.
For sure.
Or if you have a bunch of assets even. You know, like The Thunder went into this whole process a couple of years ago, and it was like, oh, okay, they've got a million picks and a great executive who had proven that he could spot Harden and Westbrook and Durant and other guys in drafts. And it's like, okay, we trust our executive, we trust our assets, let's see what he can build. This time it's like, we don't really have great assets, and we don't really trust management. And we certainly don't trust ownership. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that they can build around is a scoring, undersized guard. That's starting with nothing in NBA. That's basically nothing. Like Io, I like him. Coby White, I like him. Mm-hmm. Patrick Williams, fine. But they're in a very, very bleak situation. And I just don't want to overstate it because they're finally going to be different. I really do think it's going to be a long, long road for the Bulls. You missed it last week, buddy. Peter Hansen?
Yeah.
Voice of an angel.
I heard he sang.
He sang. So he's retained the 440 segment. Peter's Ponderings returns next on The Score. I miss a day and the intern gets the 440 segment. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
It's time for Peter's Ponderings.
Yeah, so I was kind of bugged by something I saw on Twitter over the weekend.
Oh. We give our intern, Peter, one segment a day to program as he sees fit.
Intern, although I don't like that word, the terminology.
If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain.
Peter's Ponderings.
Yeah, I've heard Dave Roberts is like a really bad guy.
Peter's Ponderings with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
Peter Hansen. People are like, oh, I love Peter's Ponderings, the 440 segment.
Who's saying that?
Oh, it's the talk of the streets. People love it.
What streets?
All of them. But
where? What town?
Oh, just, I mean, you know, north side, west side, south side.
Okay.
People love it. You haven't heard that out there?
Not yet, but I'm just wondering. Maybe I've been out in the right part of these streets.
It's out there. I'm surprised it didn't come up with you this weekend. But anyway, that's not the point. Okay. What is this? We don't have Peter Hansen with this show forever. He keeps going and he's going to different shows and other parts of the business and all that. So there's only so many Peter Pondering segments we have left. What do you have for us today, Peter Hansen?
What are you pondering?
Yeah, I'm looking for some advice today, guys. Mm. So I've got a birthday coming up. Birthday coming up on Wednesday.
Happy
birthday.
It's
the big 2-1. And
that's this Wednesday?
Yeah. Watch. And I don't know what to do. I was thinking about going to the Cubs game, like John Morosi is on Wednesday, but I actually want to have a fun birthday.
Oh boy.
So I don't really feel like going to Wrigley Field. What do you guys think?
Let's address
Wrigley
that.
Wrigley's fun.
Wrigley is a fun place theoretically.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just not pleased with the product on the field.
Yeah. So does the product on the field impact your mood greatly?
A little bit too much, yeah.
A little bit too much, okay.
All right, so age 21, have you ever had a drink in your life, Peter?
No comment.
Okay.
All right, yes. Okay, good. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, day game, right, on the 3rd? Is it not a day game?
No, it's not.
Night game. Day game, 4th and 5th.
Night game against the Phillies.
My bad. A game at Wrigley and then a night out in Wrigley. Do you have to work here the next day?
No, off the 4th.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so you're free to get after it. I mean, you know, Wednesday's tough for a 21st birthday. Do you have a crew of people who would go out hard with you?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you're at that age when a Wednesday night's not really a problem.
Are they actually your friends, or are they just hang around with you because you have
internship? No, they're my friends. I actually strategically got birthed on July 3rd so that I would always have the next day off.
Oh, that's crafty.
That is crafty
like that.
Smart embryo.
There's a bar right across the street called Cindy's Rooftop that I think you would really, really enjoy. The drinks are
a lot of tourists,
not overpriced.
Danny's shaking
stretch.
His head. What? Yeah. So is that a no-go?
It's a touristy spot. I'm making a joke.
With a great view of the Bean, it's very expensive. And Spiegs just loves to go there, even though he's from here.
Peter, where do you hang your hat these days? Where do you sleep? Not in Chicago. Is that true? Is that correct?
No, far north side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Far north side. Hang around the middle of downtown Chicago. Like, seriously. Go.
Shane is shaking his head. Shane, we should be asking the youngest person on the show here.
We can. But, I mean, this is a beautiful town. Go to the lakefront. Very close. I would recommend going over by perhaps the museum campus. It's delightful over there. Make yourself a little picnic with some of your pals in the afternoon.
It's his 21st birthday. What are you talking about?
I'm also here until 6 p.m. that day. So,
I mean, yeah. Well, listen. You're with us on your 21st birthday?
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
Oh, boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm out of
touch.
Are
we allowed to?
On 21st birthdays.
I mean, we drink during the show sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
are we allowed to get him drunk?
I wouldn't suggest getting Peter the intern drunk at his internship. Yeah, I would not suggest that.
You would suggest that.
That's a good way for internships to go away again, isn't it?
It was a thought that I had.
Just got him back. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to getting back in my chair next week, but like, I still want to keep interns around.
Right. Okay. So right, definitely,
Peter,
don't take a shot per hour.
Don't go to the Cub game, but go to the Wrigley bars before or after, preferably after. You're going to start in Lincoln Park at like Hook and Ladder and Halligan's. That's killer 21, 22, 23 year old bar. $2.50 shots of Malort. You're going to get hammered there. You're going to have a great time. You want something classier, go to the Red Lion on that same stretch.
Oh, I love the Red Lion.
But then after the Cub game or like in the seventh inning, get over there to Old Crow and Rizzo's and, you know, Murphy's and Cubby Bear and HVAC and Moe's, all those bars. That's where you're going to have the most amount of fun for your 21st. There could be a lot of people there. It's going to be a nice night. Get there. Don't go to the game. Hit the Wrigley bars instead.
That's good advice. I mean, he gave me a whole little rundown there.
Itinerary of bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's where your age is going to thrive. If you want to then go from Wrigley to like Old Town, the bars on Wells, like Fireplace and the Vig and Poorhouse and Burton Place, that's where your age group shines. I know that because I found myself in an Old Town bar on Friday night, and it was not a good time for me.
You were the old guy in the bar?
I was the old guy in the bar.
We've heard about that, actually.
We were meeting the girlfriend's sister, and she's much younger. She can get into a bar, but much younger.
Yeah, got it.
And we were old by a mile. But your people thrive there.
Hmm. All right, here's what I would suggest, Peter. I mean, that's all extremely good advice and seems, you know, relevant to someone your age. And Shane is much closer.
Yeah, you suggested a picnic.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I'm just going to stick with the picnic. And then admit, the Art Institute is lovely.
Oh, my God, what are you talking about?
This time of year. Then home for find out which network is playing Matlock and or Murder, She Wrote. And just settle in for a nice, long binge watch of some quality late 80s elderly television. Okay.
Are your people 21, or do you need to go to bars that underage people can get into?
No, they're all 20. I'm the baby of the group.
Okay. Well, so then you're in good shape. I think. Have you been going to bars with a fake ID?
No. In Champaign, the age of entry is 19.
But I'm saying in Chicago. So you haven't really done Chicago bars.
No.
Oh, then you need. Yeah. Then don't go to the game and go to as many Chicago bars as you can.
That's probably good advice.
I would try to go to 21 bars and have 21 drinks. That'd be the goal for me. If I was in your situation.
But Spieg's advice is sounding kind of nice because I'm going to be on a plane the next day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I want to be hurting on the plane.
How about a delicious dinner in a family-friendly spot that has, a little bit of an extra vibe to it? It's called the Bubba Gump Shrimp Gump.
All right, I'm back with Danny and Shane now.
Yeah, you're going to remember deep dish.
Yeah.
All right.
No, Bubba Gump Shrimp. I think down on Navy Pier, you can do flyover while you're there. You know? I mean,
what time's the, what time's the flight on the 4th?
I think at like 11?
11 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, you got that. That's no problem.
I mean, that's right in prime. If you go out till 4 in the morning, that's going to be a prime issue.
Hold on, Peter. I want to see if the Chicago Sinfonietta is playing that night.
I mean, I don't hate a boat, like a river cruise.
Get out on the lake, man.
Type thing. Hell is a terrible way to start your day.
No,
oh, you're with
way.
Us.
He's with us, which is a terrible idea.
There is a great little spot inside of the O'Hare Airport. I assume that's where you're flying out of, Chili's.
It's very nice.
Nice little watering hole.
I agree.
We have a winner.
There you go.
All kinds of stuff you could do.
Shane, does it feel good to be closest to 21 on the show to be able to provide actual advice?
I mean, just the fact that we have a 20-year-old intern makes me feel old as crap.
Yeah. Imagine how Speaks feels.
I mean, I've never worked with someone that has like an 12-year age difference.
Yeah. In that direction.
Never. Yeah. Yeah, in that direction. I've always been the youngest, like full time at the station. I've always been that.
So you were at a bar the other night, and you were the old guy, huh?
I was at Poorhouse. Yeah, we met the girlfriend's sister and her boyfriend there, and they're much younger.
So how do you come off as the old guy?
Because I can
hang,
dude.
I know, but like, are you threatening? If somebody thinks you're the old guy, are you a threatening figure as the old guy?
I mean, there's someone I knew that was there that is underage, so I won't disclose his or her name. That then went to their father, who I know, and said all my friends. When I was talking to Shane, said, who's that guy, the old guy that he's talking to? So I apparently came off as old, where I don't assume that I do anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think of you as a young guy who has an edge of confidence and swagger to him.
Sure.
But if you're the old guy at that point, it can come off super creepy.
Right. And maybe it's because I wasn't wearing Vineyard Vines or like Ralph Lauren polo, like whatever those kids are wearing now, like Saint Laurent or whatever it is. Or Sheehan.
You got some good Vineyard Vines for Wednesday?
No. I threw out the Vineyard Vines after high school ended.
All right.
Okay. I got to say, by the way,
threw it out or donated it, Peter, you selfish bad.
Donated it.
Yeah.
Hearing that snippet of the Pina Colada song, was that live karaoke, live singing to the karaoke
track? Yes, it was.
That's outstanding, and it makes me think that maybe that's the future. That is the future of our Chicago Bears parody endeavors.
We got to do it live?
Screw it. We'll do it live.
I do one take anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You're a one take guy.
Not a problem.
I'm a live singer. You know, I'm comfortable in that atmosphere.
Because I was thinking about you, Speaks. You did not get a chance to hear the whole Pina Colada song.
I did not.
Would you like to hear it?
I would, actually.
Peter Hansen.
And here it comes. Let's listen.
You guys said I would wimp out. Not.
Okay, we haven't heard anything yet. So, what a buildup.
I was tired of my lady. We've been together too long.
Yeah.
Like a worn-out recording.
Let's go, Peter.
Of a favorite song.
Yeah, yeah.
So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed.
Oh, I can't laugh.
In the personal columns.
He recovers.
But was this letter I read? If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga,
tender.
And you have half a brain.
I knew it. It's good.
If Ronnie James is bad at basketball, and the Cubs really stink,
woo!
Top.
I'm the love that you looked for. Write to me an escape from this bad Cubs season.
Pretty good.
That was pretty strong.
Pretty dulcet tones
down there in the octave where he needs to be. Had some Barry White to it right down there at the bottom. Can he jump up the octave like he does on the chorus if need be?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
He didn't have to prove it, though.
Didn't have to.
Next time.
He only took out enough to win.
Maybe a karaoke bar for the 21st.
That's a good idea. Very good, Danny. Thank you.
There you go. That's Peter's ponderings. What it would look like for the Cubs as sellers and how the blame game would actually go. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.